From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. We are actually coming to you today from the office of Christine Eggert on the SOU faculty because of this beautiful Steinway piano, which we are using today because my guest is the fantastic Olivia Cheney. Hello.
Hi.
It is nice to meet you. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
The newest record is called Shelter. It's on None Such. Information can be found online at oliviacheney.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're not here alone. You have help from Jordan Hunt.
Indeed.
On violin and it looks like vocals as well today.
Yeah, and piano.
Let's talk a little bit about your background and musical beginnings before we get to talking about this new record specifically. You had said once that as a kid, you were exposed to music via your parents. They were doing a lot of listening on car rides and drives and things. And
yeah.
You talked not only about how that taught you about music, but how it taught you to listen to music.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that? Like, how did it teach you to listen to music?
Well, the honest answer is probably because my parents were rowing all the time. So it was like, and a combination of the music was really engaging and storytelling. And also just being in the back of a car, I think kind of you get really dreamy and you're looking out at the world, but you become quite introspective, I think. So all of those things combined meant I got quite interior and just really tuned into the music.
So were you trying to tune out what was going on inside the car and focus
and
more on the speaker?
Yeah, and my big sister pinching me, you know, in the back of these epic drives. Because I was born in Italy and then when we moved back to England when I was very small, we still drove to and from England to Italy across Europe, got the ferry to France, then would drive through Switzerland and stuff like every summer. So there was a lot of driving.
You said your parents were listening to things like, not surprisingly, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
But you have some other influences in the mix that stand out on a list. Things like opera, Stravinsky, Monteverdi, Purcell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, you know, as I'm sure with a lot of musicians, if you really like wrote down every single kind of piece of music that's probably inspired you, if not influenced you, it would be so huge for me. And I think I studied classical music, so the list of kind of classical composers you named and to me that's not so surprising. But then there's all sorts of more experimental stuff that I got into, I suppose. And yeah, in my 20s I was really like a voracious listener, you could say.
Did you study classical music with an eye to doing it professionally or just because you were interested in it?
Yeah, good question. I think as a kid, I had maybe very brief fantasy of being a classical pianist until I left the relatively small town of Oxford and realized that I was kind of, you know, not even a big fish in a small pond, but there's nothing like going to a music boarding school like Cheetham School of Music, which is where I went when I was 14, and realizing that there's just like loads of very precocious and gifted kids from all over the world who've been practicing 12 hours a day. And, you know, you're just kind of more from an arty-farty family and like very creative, but like don't have great technique and stuff. So, but also I think genuinely that was always, you know, that was always going to be the path. And also, especially as a singer, I always kicked against aspects of stuffiness in the classical music world, particularly maybe the way it's taught. And I think since I was a kid, I was always trying to kind of shake up people's delivery and reception of aspects of classical music. Because to me, the music itself is often not so stuffy. I mean, maybe Elgar or something could genuinely be perceived as stuffy music or whatever, but that's a huge subject. But for me, composers like Purcell or Stravinsky or Monteverdi, who are some of my favorites, or Debussy, there's not so much pomposity in the music, but for some reason, the way that it's received or delivered now can be a bit kind of tiresome. So you know, the reason I've even put a piece of Purcell on my first album and my second album within a very more songwriter kind of almost pop context, you could say, and folk, is is because I just believe that music should be heard by everyone. And I think it's really accessible music, and I want to sing it without all the trappings that I think some kind of opera singers maybe fall into.
Well, to your credit, it's not always that accessible to a modern ear, but right. You do a nice job of making it so.
Thank you.
Olivia Chaney is my guest today live here on Jefferson Public Radio. That new record is called Shelter. Information is online at oliviachaney.com. Where you ended up is nowhere near traditional classical music. I can't wait to hear a tune. And I will say that as you were warming up for our session today, I was looking down at the gear and believing that I was hearing an album. And then you look up and it's literally just you 5 feet away. Absolutely spectacular.
Well, yeah, and that's how I make records as well. They're pretty close to what you're going to hear live, I suppose.
All right, what do you want to do first for us?
We'll play you A Tree Grows in Brooklyn.
Crying cockles and muscles alive.
That is A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. It's Olivia Cheney with help from Jordan Hunt live today here on Jefferson Public Radio from the studio of Christine Eggert here at Southern Oregon University with a nice loan of the Steinway Grand Piano for us today. Fantastic.
Thank you.
So pretty. How did you land in this world of traditional, I'm going to put quotes around it because there's some argument to be made, but traditional folk music, because after the upbringing in classical, you actually focused on jazz for some time.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really. I listened to the ECM kind of catalog a lot.
Which was spacious and sparse and beautiful.
Yeah, and, you know, ranges from kind of Keith Jarrett's of Brad Meldow to Arvo Pärt, and sure, I would still love all of those people. And I was amazingly lucky enough to sign with a label who has all of those artists on there.
It's very similar to what ECM used to do.
Well, partly because Bob Hurwitz, who worked for Manfred Eicher at ECM and then he went to Nonesuch. So there's actually literally a kind
direct
of aesthetic
connection.
Overlap. Yeah. But so in some ways, yeah, my relationship to jazz is probably not dissimilar to maybe my relationship to the word folk. It's like very, very broad. Like those words, jazz and folk, mean very kind of broad things to me. And I don't feel particularly like an aficionado in either of those fields, but I've kind of become obsessed with like various artists or various aspects in each of those fields, and then probably spent a lot of time just like kicking against or rule breaking and annoying people and trying to just find my own voice. So yeah, I guess I kick against even being called trad because I don't really regard myself as that. I love singing trad songs. If that makes me trad, then fine. But it just, I suppose, to be called trad feels like it negates the composer in me and the kind of multi-instrumentalist in me and the songwriter in me who's thinking about a lot more than just trad folk songs.
Yeah.
That's
well, I will say these days there are not all that many people that are standing out there so exposed with either just a guitar or just a piano singing songs that are slow and languid and flowing the way you do.
Believe me, I pay the price for it.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's hard. It's hard. And you know, when you get reviews that are like, this is so sparse, and I'm kind of thinking, is it? I'm just playing music the way I hear it and the way I want to play it. But we seem to live in a culture where we just expect, and I suppose deep down, I believe symbolically, we seem to need or expect a huge amount of layers, maybe like our food, like we need loads of chemicals and flavoring in it or something. I suppose there's a bit of me that wants to keep off all the stuff because I believe that there's kind of maybe it's easier for me anyway to deliver a message with clarity and a kind of emotional directness, which is what I'm interested in, I think, artistically, if there isn't a lot of stuff. And it's just, it's also just a taste thing. So it's very subjective, I'm very aware. But it's subjective within a culture that I think mostly prefers lots more stuff and lots more noise. Yeah. So,
well, you've done a very good job with the producers that you've worked with of capturing the way you sound here in this room.
Of bullying them to keep all the layers off. No, I'm joking, but yeah, thank you.
Olivia Cheney is my guest today here on Jefferson Public Radio. Not only do we have a piano, but you've brought in a guitar as well. Tell me a little bit about this guitar and what you plan on performing next.
Yeah, this guitar is really special. It's a limited edition Dobro, but Dobro and Mosrite, the electric guitar makers, teamed up for a brief moment and made, I think, only about 1,000 of these in the 60s. So I think it's a 1967 original, one of, I don't know what number out of 1,000, I can't remember. I'm not really, this makes me sound like a guitar nerd. I actually just walked into a vintage guitar shop in London, UK, where I live, and was looking for something very different. And I just saw it on the wall and was like, what is that? And it wasn't too pricey. And I got it and And then I play strange tunings on it and play it in a way that you're not really meant to. It's for your listeners, if they want to like look up what it looks like, it's the one that it's the same as Glen Campbell played. He had one, but he had mother of pearl inlay with his name. His
can't have everything.
No, I'm working on it.
I know that a lot of your songs have stories about people or experiences, some of which are intentionally vague, some of which are not as vague as others. What song are you going to play with the dobro? And is there a story behind it?
This song, IOU, this is kind of...
I love this song.
Thank you. This is kind of unusual for me because I think this is about as vague as my songwriting gets. I don't think I ever want to be vague, but I definitely... Talking of layers, I'm happy to put on lots of layers of metaphor and meaning in things. And it kind of means that maybe as a listener, you can dig as deep as you want or not. You know, you can take things at face value with my lyrics or kind of listen again. And by the 10th time, you're like, oh, is there that? Or it means something different for you. And with this song, hopefully the same, but it's much more open-ended than most of my lyrics. And it's kind of a song to myself. I'm kind of saying I want to make peace with myself and various old lovers and catastrophes in my life, I suppose. So, yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
Ah, thanks.
It's Olivia Chaney, live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Touch in debt to a previous crutch. Good man, he cracked my back to help me sleep through dreams I lost. I want to make peace with you. It's been so long that you've held me in your grip. Each night when I return, look out the back door alone, count every star so bright and waiting there for a new dawn. I want to make peace with you. You've held me.
It's just as good as the recording. Such a pretty tune.
Oh, thank you.
IOU. It's Olivia Chaney playing live today here in the JPR studios and coming to you today from the studio of Christine Eggert here at SOU. OliviaChaney.com is the place to go online for information. The newest record out on Nonesuch Records is called Shelter. I have had a fair number of performers here in the studio over the last few years from England and have had the conversation about accent, singing accent.
Right.
And almost to a person, each one of them have said, we grew up with the accent of singing being American because of the Bob Dylans and everything else. You have a little bit different take on it.
Yeah. I just don't understand why people don't really sing in their speaking voice accent. And in a way, even with opera and like my interpretations of composer like Purcell, again, I'm trying to just make it, and in that way, again, that's probably why I feel like being labeled a traditionalist or something is kind of doesn't give the full picture, because I'm actually trying to really be contemporary and make however old or modern a song is. I'm just kind of trying to bring it into the present, and that's something that I've thought about an immense amount as a singer. Kind of technically as a singer. So it's, that was something I spent years and years like working on, and it didn't come easily, but I definitely feel now like it's something, all that work I can kind of take for granted, and I don't need to. I think I'm a very like technical singer, but I feel like I have the control that I need to express what I want to express, if that makes sense. Yeah. I just think, it's just kind of being, singing with a kind of honesty.
Yeah.
Unless you're, you know, going for something completely theatric and you're not. But I feel like what I'm writing and, you know, my art, if I can call it that, feels a bit grand, but is quite honest and kind of, you know, heart on its sleeve. Right. So it would feel weird to sing in an accent that wasn't my own.
You have mentioned trying to modernize or bring into the current time this style of performance. A lot of the songs on your record sound like they might be old English folk tunes, but the reality is most of them are originals. And if you look at Shelter and you look at the previous record, there is a similarity to the catalog of songs that made it onto those two records. But that's not to say that you were necessarily stagnating in the same place, because of a side project that a lot of folks around this neck of the woods are aware of and have probably even seen you live on stage, which was the collaborative effort of Rex with the Decemberists.
Yeah.
A number of people right now are going, oh, wait, that's where I recognize the voice, right? You guys played at Brit festivals here in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Tell me how you made that connection initially and how it flourished into a record and a full-blown national tour.
Colin Molloy was just a fan of my first record, The Longest River.
He tweeted about like a child ballad that he wanted you to do, right?
Yeah, which we ended up putting on the record. Willia Winsbury, a very special, one of the great folk songs and stories. And when he tweeted about it, I had no idea that he even, you know, knew of my music, let alone was a fan of the record. But I was particularly struck and flattered by that, because I knew his love of Anne Briggs was probably as great as mine, because he'd made a record that was, had, you know, the same title, Hazards of Love, as her kind of really her only record that she released. But it took us a while after that tweet, and I went and did a support tour for them. Came out to America and did a support tour, and it was really fun and got along with all of them and the band really well. And every now and again, I'd come off stage and he'd be like, hey, have you ever thought about having a band? And we could be your backup band, and we could be your Albion band, your Shirley Collins. And because he knew I had worked with her, and like, we both really love her as well. But then it still took a while. And then he just wrote an email out of the blue just saying, yep, I think we should make a record.
Oh, it turned out great.
Oh, thank you.
As has this new one. I'm so thrilled that you're here.
Oh, well, thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah. Olivia Chaney is my guest, with help today from Jordan Hunt. The new record is called Shelter. She is moving back over to the piano for one more tune. What do you want to wrap up with?
We'll play you Roman Holiday.
Fantastic. That is called Roman Holiday. You can find it on Shelter, the new record on Nonesuch Records of Olivia Chaney. She's my guest today, along with help from Jordan Hunt. OliviaChaney.com is the website. Olivia, thanks so much.
Thank you.